Today marks the first day of the world's largest conference on climate change. Leaders from around the globe are meeting in Paris for the next week and a half to hammer out an agreement on stemming carbon emissions and holding down rising temperatures.
In attendance will be representatives of a Wisconsin company, Johnson Controls, which joined 80 other American companies in signing on to the Obama administration's American Business Act on Climate pledge. The company, based in Glendale, Wisconsin, sells products and services geared toward energy efficiency.
As part of the initiative, each company has announced its own goals for how it will contribute to reducing carbon emissions in the coming years. Here with us now is Clay Nessler, Vice President of Global Energy and Sustainability at Johnson Controls. He'll be in Paris later this week. Clay, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much.
So why did Johnson Controls decide to sign on to the president's initiative?
Well, actually, it was very natural for us to do. As many of your listeners know, Johnson Controls is a Wisconsin-based global multi-industrial company. We have operations in 150 countries around the world, and we made public commitments around sustainability and greenhouse gas emissions since 2003. For instance, from 2002 to 2014, we actually reduced our global greenhouse gas intensity by 41%. And we've consistently made public commitments, set goals. We've achieved those goals, and then we've continued to make additional commitments over the years. And that's essentially what the American Business Act on Climate pledge is all about: identifying areas where you can make a positive impact, setting goals, making them public, reporting on your progress. We joined 80 other U.S. companies in making the pledge.
And so looking at this specific layer of your commitment to combating climate change at Johnson Controls, under that American Business Act on Climate pledge, what are you saying that you as a company will do, and in what time period?
Yeah. We've publicly made commitments within the last year to reduce our greenhouse gas intensity, which is our metric tons of emissions divided by our revenue, by 15%. So that's going beyond the 41% that we've already made. Additionally, we made a commitment to reduce our energy intensity of our operations by another 15%. So those are quantitative goals. We also, in our pledge, identified two other areas of commitment. One is we're working with our small and medium enterprise suppliers to help them improve the energy efficiency and resource efficiency of their operations through tools and training. We have a process that we use within our own 300-plus manufacturing facilities around the world, which are called energy hunts, where we look for low-cost and no-cost measures, training energy champions and teams in our plants to go in and looking for opportunities for lighting retrofits to improve the efficiency of heating, ventilating, air conditioning equipment, looking to find compressed air leaks and getting the operators and the shop floor personnel involved in turning things off. Those practices are very universal, and we're now taking our best practices to our supply base. When we looked at our environmental footprint, we found that our upstream supply chain actually has five times the environmental impact as our own operations within our own plants, facilities, vehicles, and our own operational footprint. So we can have a very large impact just by sharing our best practice with our suppliers.
We're talking with Clay Nessler, Vice President of Global Energy and Sustainability at Johnson Controls. It's a Wisconsin company that is making significant commitments to combating climate change and will be attending the Paris Climate Summit later this week. So, Clay, the goal is to stem climate change, but there are also implications, obviously, for your business in taking these things on. What would you say are the positives and maybe negatives from a financial or a growth perspective?
Well, Johnson Controls is a leader in energy efficiency in both the building sector as well as in the vehicle sector. So our advanced technology batteries are used in cars to promote start-stop operation. These are This is technology which is relatively new in the U.S., but very well established in Europe, where when you pull up to a stoplight or a stop sign and you put your foot on the brake, the car engine actually turns off. And then when you release the brake, the engine turns back on. That's a technology which can provide 5 to 10% or 5 to 8%, let's say, vehicle fuel efficiency at a relatively low cost compared to other more advanced technologies in vehicles. So that's a great example where technology today can make a very big impact in emissions. Similarly, in the building side, ever since our founder, Professor Warren Johnson, invented the room thermostat about 130 years ago, we've been improving the energy efficiency and reducing energy use in buildings. We find that in both new and existing buildings, we can reduce the energy use by 25 to 50%. The interesting thing about energy efficiency is it's not a cost to make these improvements. It's actually an investment. So instead of spending money in energy waste through utility bills, being able to invest in the improvements, pay for them over time using a variety of contracting methods, it actually provides a positive return to the owners of the buildings. And we find that that's a real opportunity as we look at climate change. Is it's not just a cost. It actually is an investment because it pays for itself over time in both vehicles and in buildings.
I want to go back to something you said, Clay. You said that a lot of those innovations, especially you were talking about the automotive innovations, are much more common and much more commonly used in Europe than in the United States. To what do you attribute that difference?
Well, Europe has long worked as sort of a common collection of member states, and the price of energy is very high, and that promotes the use of energy efficiency. The price of gasoline, for instance, at our pumps is, if you've ever traveled to Europe, you'll know that it's multiple times less expensive than the than gasoline or diesel in Europe, which is very popular. So that drives investment in energy efficiency solutions. So price is one factor, and also incentives. We find in the U.S., for instance, that the federal government and many state and local governments, including the state of Wisconsin, have taken great advantage of what's called performance contracting, where a government entity would work with a energy performance contractor like Johnson Controls, which is a large business for us, and basically make all the improvements in the buildings, work with a third-party financial institution to finance those and pay for those improvements over time, reducing energy costs, reducing the environmental impact, without a net impact to taxpayers or the utility ratepayers. So I think it works in both Europe and the United States.
So you will be attending the Paris conference later in the week. What will you personally be doing there as a representative of Johnson Controls?
Yes, I'm actually leaving for Paris tomorrow, and I'll be traveling with Grady Crosby, who is our Vice President of Public Affairs and Diversity. And we will be very active participating in roundtables and in panel discussions. I will be accredited to go into the negotiating areas. So I'll be participating in, I believe, 7 different speaking engagements, primarily working with NGOs, environmental NGOs, civil society, and really representing Johnson Controls as well as the private sector as a whole, basically talking about the role of innovation, the role of market-based mechanisms, so taking advantage of the private sector to make these improvements and to make greater, more ambitious reductions through cooperation between the public sector and the private sector.
Well, Clay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We've been talking to Clay Nessler, Vice President of Global Energy and Sustainability at Johnson Controls. He'll be in Paris later this week representing the Wisconsin-based company at the Global Climate Change Conference.